Joining me, as she often does on Wednesday mornings, is our science editor, Heather Goldstone, in Woods Hole this morning. Good morning, Heather.
Good morning, Bob.
Well, first of all, we are going to talk about what's been happening with the commercial fishing industry here in New England beginning today. But let's start off by talking about the winners of the Senate primary elections yesterday. Congressman Ed Markey and Gabriel Gomez will be facing off for the Senate election on June 25th. What can you tell us about each candidate's environmental record?
Well, as we talked about last week, the League of Conservation Voters and some other environmental groups poured a lot of money into the Democratic primary almost exclusively on behalf of Congressman Ed Markey. Markey has made climate change and environment signature issues of his both in Congress and in this race for the Senate. He's a vocal opponent of the Keystone XL pipeline. He co-authored the only climate change legislation to pass the Senate. That was the cap and trade bill a few years back that did not, passed the House but not the Senate. And he has promised that he would again try to advance legislation that would reduce greenhouse gases. He really frames this as a moral issue for future generations. Gabriel Gomez is certainly would stand out among his fellow Republicans in the Senate. Were he to be the one elected, he does say that climate change is real, and that goes against what three quarters of Republican senators are currently saying publicly. They tend to doubt the scientific consensus on climate change. But Gomez does say that many of the proposed responses to climate change are, quote, irrational and would hurt American businesses, and he opposes those. And, of course, completely opposite to Markey, he supports Keystone XL. So certainly Massachusetts voters have a real choice to make on environmental issues when it comes to this election.
All right. Well, thank you, Heather. Of course, today, May 1st, the government's long-planned 78% reduction in cod catch limits in the Gulf of Maine goes into effect. And, of course, fishermen are decrying what they see as an unnecessary attack on their way of life. What can you tell us about what is taking place here and why these severe restrictions are going into effect?
Well, as you said, it's an almost 78% reduction, specifically in cod that can be caught in the Gulf of Maine. For cod caught on Georgia's Bank, the reduction is less severe, but it's still more than a 50% reduction. So we're looking at severe reductions in the amount of cod that fishermen will be able to catch. And because cod is often caught in conjunction with several other groundfish species like pollock or haddock, the fear is that cod restrictions could really shut down the entire groundfish fishing season when we hit those catch quotas. And of even greater concern is the possibility that there would be so little fishing traffic coming into especially ports like Gloucester, where the groundfish fishery is really the primary driver of the shoreside support businesses, the auctions, the processors, the distributors, all the infrastructure that support fishing, that we could see the loss of some of those businesses going under this season. And of course, if you lose that shoreside support, it makes it much harder to rebuild a fleet in the future if and when stocks rebound.
Well, a few years ago, the news was that cod was on the rebound. So how did we get to this point?
Well, it's a long story, but in the short term, what happened was that there was a fairly drastic change in the stock assessment between 2008 and 2011. During the 2008 assessment, scientists saw what looked like a very large year class of young fish, which they thought in 3 to 5 years would be maturing, coming into the size that would be landable, legally landable. And so the projections were, okay, the population seems to be rebounding at a good rate, and we should be able to catch some more cod. When it came time for the 2011 assessment, that year class had not materialized as 3 to 5 year old fish that could be caught. There were also some other changes in the science, but that was really the biggie, is that big year class didn't materialize. And so they said, well, we're going to have to revise down our estimate of how quickly this population is growing. That combined with federally mandated deadlines to set science-based catch limits to end overfishing in 2012, and it was really the collision of those two things that made these cuts necessary. The Northeast Fisheries Administrator John Bullard was in Boston earlier this week, and he explained that, you know, last year regulators were able to invoke an emergency measure because this was such new news and not take the full brunt of the cuts, but that's just not possible this year.
We want relief. We want you to raise the quotas. Well, legally, we don't think we can do that. And if we could legally do that, I don't think we should. I think we really need to rebuild those stocks. And so that's an answer nobody wants to hear, but that's an answer that we really have to give.
That's National Fisheries Marine Administrator, and we should mention former New Bedford Mayor John Bullard speaking. And so that's the short-term explanation, but I understand you've been doing some research into the long-term legacy of overfishing in New England.
Well, of course, everybody knows that Cape Cod was named for cod. There's been a cod fishery in New England for hundreds of years. There were cod fishermen here before the Plymouth Plantation was even settled. And it's interesting that when historians look, historian Jeff Bolster from the University of New Hampshire has recently written a book about the long history of fishing in the North Atlantic, and says that really we've been talking about overfishing of cod for well over 150 years.
The conversation has been the same since prior to the American Civil War, where certain knowledgeable Americans, at that time it was all fishermen, said, we got a problem. Stocks are going down. Catches are going down. You, the government, our elected representatives, must do something to take care of this. So this discussion begins in the 1850s.
Well, I had no idea that the problem dates back that far.
Yeah. In fact, the first U.S. Commission on Fish and Fisheries was founded in 1871 to address, quote, our exhausted cod fishery.
So you've gone from the Civil War to World War I, and the catches have gone from 70,000 metric tons, small sailboats, small rowboats, hooks, to 10,000 metric tons, steam-powered draggers. Okay, so an old fisherman today might look back to the middle of the 20th century, back to when it was good, except by that time, the system had already been hit really, really, really hard.
So how long will it take to rebuild the cod stocks?
Well, obviously, nobody has a crystal ball. Scientists attempt to estimate the population growth rates and how quickly that will allow the population to rebound, but the current situation obviously makes it clear that even the best science can sometimes be erroneous in that regard. And a new study released just last week showed that in some cases, stocks never rebound. The Newfoundland cod fishery is a prime example. They closed that fishery 20 years ago, and it's seen minimal recovery. And Jeff Bolster says we kind of need to adjust our attitude towards how quickly recovery might happen.
They've been in decline in our waters for 400 years, not 25 years, not 30 years, not 50 years, 400 years. And so to imagine that anything we do is going to create dramatic improvements in the space of a 2 or 4 year political cycle is a little naive.
Well, in the meantime, what, if anything, are federal officials doing to try to help these struggling fishermen here?
Well, the Commerce Department has issued a disaster declaration for the New England groundfish fishery. That happened back in September, but Congress has yet to actually okay any disaster relief funds coming to fishermen. And fishermen themselves would tell you they'd rather go fishing than take government money anyway. So federal regulators have taken a few actions to try to help in that regard. They've raised catch limits on some healthier stocks like hake. They're allowing fishermen to carry over some of their uncaught cod quota from last year. They've reduced the minimum size that can be landed. They're opening some areas that have been closed. So they're trying to take some steps to do what they can to alleviate this. But this is going to be a really hard season and could be a really critical make-or-break season for this fishery.
Well, thank you so much, WGBH's science editor Heather Goldstone, joining us here on this Wednesday morning. Thanks so much, Heather.
My pleasure.